It has been an exciting service, I think, with lots of children making lots of noises. That's what children do. It's kind of like probably the family Christmases that you're going to experience wherever you're going, either yesterday, today, tomorrow, or the next day. And thinking about the story of Jesus and his birth, you know, it wasn't as perfect and quaint as we like to think it is. You know, if you picture the scene in Bethlehem during a census and shepherds trying to find Jesus and trying to find a place and animals in the barn where Jesus was born. And so here we are. We don't have animals, but we're together celebrating and remembering the birth of Christ, and it's exciting. So as a church, and just so you know, I get 10 minutes to talk, okay? So my timer is going. So if I just stop and walk off, you know why. But thanks for joining us. It's a beautiful snowy night. And as a church, we've been looking at some of the songs of Advent found in the book of Luke. And today we're going to kind of finish off looking at the songs of Advent of anticipating Christ by looking at Psalm 98 briefly. But before we get there, as we've looked tonight, we've kind of traced the hand of God and kind of God's work in our world through the scripture reading that we've seen. And we've traced how God made the world. We've seen how sin entered the world through Adam and Eve eating from the tree, where before that the world was perfect, that man or man and woman, I'm a man, and woman, were in right relationship with God. Everything was good. And God gave them one command, don't eat from this tree. Trust me. Trust that I'm a good leader. Trust that I'm a good king. Trust that what I say is best for you. We saw that, and then we heard scripture of prophets, because God sent prophets to come and share that there is a Messiah coming, because sin entered the world when Adam and Eve chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God had a plan to restore that relationship, but it didn't happen right away. It was going to happen in time. And as people forgot about God and wandered away, he sent prophets to call people back to God, to say, to remember who I am, remember what I've promised, remember that I am good. And we've seen this traced throughout the scripture reading. And then we have, all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene, and we have some of these beautiful scriptures that we've read. And tonight we're going to look just one more time at Psalm 98 and the birth of Christ. And before we get there, as we look at the songs, does anybody know the first song that was ever recorded in the Bible? Probably not. Anybody? All right. Exodus chapter 15. All right. What is Exodus chapter 15? After the Exodus, this is when the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, were in slavery for 400 years, is when we get the first recorded song in Scripture. That's where Moses then sings to the Lord a song of praise and thanksgiving because he has delivered his people. And if you remember, what happens just before that is the nation Israel is in slavery for 400 years. Pharaoh will not let the people go. All of these miraculous signs happen, plagues and all these different things. And the final plague that kind of sent and made the nation Israel to be free was that of the death of the firstborn of all the children. But that death the Bible says, was going to pass over each and every house in that town that night. But you could escape that death in your house by slaughtering a lamb and putting the blood on the posts. And then what would happen is, as death crossed over at night, your house would be covered by the blood of that sacrificed lamb. And you would actually take shelter, your house, and you would take shelter in the blood that was shed on your behalf. That was the lamb. And if you didn't have that on your posts, what would happen was the firstborn of your house would be slaughtered. And it's an awful story. That was the first song. And then they got out of slavery and Moses sings. And then we get to where we are kind of a little bit today, celebrating the return of Christ. And when Christ first came on the scene, what's interesting is it came at a period where there's 400 years of silence. 400 years of silence. In the Old Testament, they were in slavery for 400 years. Here, 400 years of silence, and all of a sudden, God shows up with prophecy. God shows up with angels, and God shows up with the promised Messiah, sending his son to restore relationship to him. And ultimately, that relationship was restored through him and his death on the cross and his blood that was shed. And as we kind of look briefly at Psalm 98, Psalm 98 says in verse 1, "Sing to the Lord a new song, because he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations." This psalm was written about a specific battle, about a specific event, but it also looks forward prophetically to Christ. But even more than that, this psalm, Psalm 98, and you can read it at home because we're not going to get all into it tonight. A famous hymn was written about this song that we're going to sing after I'm done, and that's "Joy to the World." Isaac Watts wrote two hymns about parts of this psalm. And "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." And just this idea of singing a new song to the Lord, when there was incredible things that happened in Scripture, there was a song that was sung to kind of mark that and commemorate that and to remember the work that God has done. And this song, psalm, talks about in the first three verses that God made salvation known through his son, Jesus, and made his salvation known to the nation Israel first and then to Jesus. That's the first part. But as this psalm goes on, the circles get bigger, and it opens up who he is revealing himself to, who God is revealing himself to. And it goes from just revealing himself to one little nation of Israel to, in the next verses of 4 to 6, it says, "Shout for joy, joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and with the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord the King." And the circle gets bigger. It says, "Shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth." It starts with Israel and it goes to all the earth. And it finishes with these beautiful three verses, which talks about how all of creation will one day worship God and does worship God. It says, "Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he has come, he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." The last three verses talk about how everything one day will again rejoice and will praise the Lord. As I said, the joy to the world, the song we're going to sing, isn't actually a Christmas song. We always sing it at Christmas song, but it's not actually talking about Jesus coming at Christmas time. It's actually talking about the second Advent. So these are our Advent candles. Advent is the anticipation of Christ coming. The second Advent is the promise, and this is the promise that is still true because Jesus' word is always true. He never lies, is that he is going to return one day. So the second Advent is, you know, we celebrate Christmas year in and year out, but why would we be celebrating? We already know Jesus' birth happened. What we're really celebrating and remembering is that his life here and his death on the cross, that brought us salvation, but it's also a deposit for a future event. And that future event is that he's coming back one time. And that's what the song, "Joy to the World," and this psalm also points to. Now, as we kind of finish up here, when we think about Christmas, what is Christmas about? I think if we ask that question, we asked it in Kids Zone this morning. That's our little kids program, and we hear it's, it's about presents. It's about Jesus. It's about Santa's birthday. It's about, you get the mix of all different things when you ask kids and adults. But the question is, what is Christmas all about? And we know that Christmas, as we've been celebrating, is about the birth of Christ. So if Christmas is about the birth of Christ, the question we asked this morning in Kids Zone is this: why was Jesus born? And the answer is, why was Jesus born? Do you guys remember any of the kids who were there? Come on. Oh, good job, Elijah. To rescue us from our sin. So when we talk about Christmas, and we can celebrate in a variety of ways. We get together with family, we eat food, we open presents, You're here tonight celebrating at a Christmas Eve service. There's lots of ways to do that. But what we can't forget is if we're celebrating Christ's birthday, we have to ask the question, why did he come? What was his birth all about? Why was he born? And the answer is to rescue us from our sin. I tried to think a little bit about what I got for Christmas last year, and I couldn't really remember. And maybe if I asked you guys, if you could list like what you got, maybe one or two things from last year, and then maybe go back like 2 years ago, and 3 years ago, and 4 years ago, all the way back like 20, 30 years, depending on how old you are, think about how many things you could really remember. Because most of those, they fade away. You know, the meals that we're going to eat, you know what happens to those, right? And then we're going to have to eat some more of them. Those are all temporary things. But when we celebrate the birth of Christ, he came to rescue us from our sins. And the words there is us. I know at family times it's going to be easy to be like, yeah, Jesus came to rescue my brother-in-law or my sister from their sins because I know all about their sins, right, when you get together with family. This says Jesus came to rescue me, came to rescue Aaron from my sins. Because it's a personal thing. Remember the story at the beginning is that at the beginning, the world was set right. God made it that way. He made it perfect, that we had perfect relationship with him. But that relationship was severed and broken because of sin. We wanted to be king of our own life and make our own choices. But God had a better plan. And at Christmas, we remember that. We remember that he sent his son, Jesus, to restore relationship. And that's what we see. Is that in this last part of Psalm 98, where it talks about how Jesus is going to return one day, he's going to judge the world in righteousness, not the way that I would judge things, but in righteousness and his people with equity. When Jesus returns one day, he's coming to set the world right. He's coming to restore and renew all of his creation. He's going to return it back to how it was. But in the meantime, before he returns, as he has come and given us this hope to rescue us from our sin, he's provided a way and given us a gift that won't perish, that won't fade, that we won't forget about come next Christmas. He's given us himself. And that's the greatest gift that we can have. And if you don't know that gift, I encourage you to know Jesus personally, because he came for me and he came for you so you could know him. And I would encourage you to figure out or to ask me what that means of how we can follow Jesus and put our trust and our faith in him and what he did when he came to this earth and died.